Hello and welcome. I'm excited to help you learn how to prepare for Elder Kieran's talk. At least one way of preparing for his talk. To teach in, Elder's Quorum, Relief Society, Gospel Doctrine even, or youth class, I'm not sure, wherever you want to use it, I'm excited to help you. Now, quick introduction, I'm Kevin Jones. I have a podcast that I do with Julie Hilliard on, it's called Teaching Restored. And where other podcasts teach you what to teach, we teach how to teach. So we go through the hows of teaching the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. And we absolutely love doing it. And so this is perfect for us to be able to do these teaching general conference videos because this is right up our alley. All right. So let's talk about Elder Kieran's talk. Now, let's be honest real quickly with this whole thing. Within general conference talks, it's not like we're teaching new material. I mean, they're new talks that we get to talk about. And I get that. And I think that's great. However, it's not like we're learning a new doctrine or really a lot of times a new principle. It's being cast in a new light, maybe, or we're being taught and we're remembering what we already know, at least those who have been members of the church for a long time. Now, there are many who won't have been in the church for a long time, and this may be new, or someone who is brand new to the church and not even a member yet. So some of this may be new, and I get that. But typically, we're teaching to those who already have a basis and already know. So it's not like we're going to come and expand, you know, some great, wow, that's incredible. We're going to help them discover. We're going to help get them engaged to help them discover something new within them. And really, what we're really trying to do is make sure that the Spirit is there so that the Spirit can teach and then get out of the way and actually let that happen. So let's talk about Elder Kieran's talk here. Okay, there we go. Now, what I want to do is take you through this and teach you a skill that will help you not only prepare for this talk, but many other talks as well. And that is how to ask really good questions. Now, that may seem boring and may seem pretty benign, but actually it's not as easy as you would think. I think a lot of people have more difficulty understanding how to ask really good questions. And really all we're going to do is we're going to ask questions. We're not going to teach anything new. It's just ask questions through this whole lesson. Are you ready? First, we have to learn the five types of questions. And there are five types. The first one is binary. What a lot of people would say a closed-ended question would be. So it's instead of yes or no, which it could be, it's just one or the other. So for example, is God our loving heavenly Father? Yes. Yes or no, right? Where should I turn for peace? Now, this is an interesting one because the song, Where Can I Turn for Peace? In the end, it says, he only won. So really the answer is either Jesus Christ or anything else. Which one are you going to do? So in the end, it becomes a binary question. It's either Jesus Christ or nothing else. So binary questions can be yes or no, son or daughter, up or down, things like that. Okay, that's binary, the closed-ended questions, what we typically think. Then we get into open-ended questions, but these it's a little bit more than just open-ended. The first of these type, or the second type of question overall, is the factual, where you just state a fact, where you ask a question. Well, who's Nephi's father? Lehi. Done, right? It doesn't get really deep, but it is a question and it is an answer. And these are all used. There aren't any of these questions that are inferior or greater than another. They're all used in different ways and they can all be very, very powerful. The next type of question is the explanatory, where when you ask a question, they have to explain it. Now, the answer may be right. It may be wrong. It may be their opinion. It doesn't matter. They're just explaining it. For example, how does the Spirit teach truth? Someone can answer that. Why do you think Peter denied Jesus three times? That's an opinion. What is the difference between serving a mission and being a missionary? I really need to think about that. Well, I know you gave an answer, right? That is a fact or explanatory question. Now, a deeper type of question is what I call the introspective question. This is where when you answer it, it has to come from within. It has to come from your soul. And really, a lot of times when you answer this kind of question, you're bearing your testimony. And that brings the spirit in. And so what we want to be doing is we want to try to get to the explanatory questions where when we ask them, the participants in our class are really starting to dive in deep and go, I need to think about that one. And they're coming up with answers that go really deep within them and bring out who they are and their testimony and how they feel. So, for example, how do you know that the Savior is with you? All right, to answer that, I have to get a little bit deeper, right? Because of what I've learned and felt during this conference, how will I change? And that could be an explanatory, well, I'm going to do this. But typically, we have to really think about these things. Really, am I going to do that? So those are the first four. The fifth type of question is the transformative question. Now, we're not really going to get into this. This is a kind of a few times in a lifetime thing where when someone asks a question, it's one of those that kicks you off of your mental high horse in a way. And you think, holy cow, my whole view of this topic or of the world changed. I've never thought of that before. That is mind blowing. Typically don't get there, and that's okay, but it is a type of question. So let's dive into the talk and use these different types of questions. Actually, before we do, we have to understand what is our goal? What are we trying to get to? Now, as you prepare, you may not know exactly what your goal is. You may have to go through the whole talk and prepare your questions and get ready for your questions. And then you get to the end and go, okay, where I'm really trying to help people go is here. What I'm trying to help them feel, what I'm trying to help them have a realization of is this. And everything that you do is leading to that at that point, right? These aren't just questions to ask questions and oh, look at that. We arrived at a place. Now that may happen because the participants may take you of someplace other than where you're trying to go. And sometimes that's okay, right? We want to follow the spirit, of course, but we at least want to start off with a goal. We want to try to get here. We don't want to force it. We want to go where the spirit will lead all of us. All right. One suggestion I would highly recommend is to not use PowerPoint, not use some slides. Make this a conversation. Now, I am using slides, of course, right? Because this is a one to you. You're not responding back to me. There is no discussion right now. I am giving this to you. So I'm using this so that you can see it laid out easily. But when you do this with them, make this a discussion. If you put up a PowerPoint or even visuals or something like that, that actually may take away from the discussion because they're more focused there than on becoming introspective and bringing in the spirit. So I'd highly recommend that it's just you and you and them, and you're asking questions. Now let's talk about some of the questions. Here's what I might suggest: that you pull different quotes out, have them read it or you read it, and then ask a few questions about it. For example, Here's a quote from his talk. My friends, my fellow disciples on the road of mortal life, our Father's beautiful plan, even his fabulous plan, is designed to bring you home, not to keep you out. You might start here with this quote here and then ask this question: who is this talk meant for? And then they may say, well, I mean, it's for the people who think that Heavenly Father's plan isn't for them. And you go, okay, anyone else? Any other thoughts? All right. Well, then who here is in that group who thinks Heavenly Father might try to make it difficult so you won't make it back to him? And everyone goes, well, you know, that's not me, right? Now, what I'm asking are factual or binary questions right here, right? The more simple questions. We're setting them up. We're going through these basic questions to set a basis for what we're all thinking, to make sure we're all getting on the same page mentally. right? We're making it so that we understand the same thing and we're going forward from a specific spot. And then, you know, we think, well, that's not me. Then you can ask, so then this talk isn't for us, right? Well, of course not. That's not right. Then what that does is that makes them think, okay, well, I'm not in that group. Then is this talk for me? Well, of course, if Elder Kieran is giving the talk in general conference, then it has to have some relevance to me, right? Okay, well then, maybe I need to think about what relevance that has for me. And that's where their mind starts going. And you're lead by asking questions. And this is what I love about questions. By asking the right questions, you lead them on a path of thought. And so they're tracking with you at this point. Okay, well, I wonder what this talk really then has for me. That's exactly what you want them to be thinking. And then you can get into what groups of, and then you can ask this question, and this is more of an explanatory question. What groups of people in the church might feel like Heavenly Father or the church is trying to keep them out? Are there groups of people in the church that feel that way? Okay, well, let's have a discussion. And I bet you they'll come up with some as well. And then you can say, what circumstances in life might we find ourselves in that may feel sometimes like he's making it difficult for us to reach him and feel his love? Oh boy, that gets into more explanatory questions, maybe even a little introspective there, doesn't it? People start saying, well, I had this situation and I didn't feel God's love. I felt like he was trying, making it really difficult for me to feel his love or to be, you know, to come back to him like I was never going to make it, right? That's when the Spirit starts coming in. Very good. How about this? Will you please share with us a time when you felt this way or even feel that way now? So you're explicitly asking them with an introspective question to bring the Spirit in to share and be a little bit vulnerable. And when they are vulnerable, acknowledge that. Say, thank you very much. That must be difficult. I don't know how that feels, but wow, that's incredible. Thank you for sharing that with us. All right, next quote. You can go through this quote. Our loving Heavenly Father saw creation. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll let you do that. But let's get to the last sentence. Everything about the Father's plan for his beloved children is designed to bring everyone home. That's kind of the point of that right there. Does anyone not agree with this? It's a binary question. Does anyone not agree with this? And they're going to all say, well, yeah, of course we agree with this, right? Then you say, why then do some people, even we at times, feel and act if God doesn't want us? Well, yeah, I guess there are times. Why is that? And people start thinking about that and giving their answers to that, right? Then let's go to the next quote. The intent of the Father's great plan of happiness is your happiness right here, right now, and in the eternities. It's not just the eternities, but it's right here, right now, right? It's not to prevent your happiness and cause you instead to worry and fear. Okay, wait a minute. This takes it to another level then, doesn't it? Not only to return to him, but to be happy right now. Is that true? How many of you, because of circumstances right now, feel worry or fear? Binary questions. Hands go up. Probably everyone's hand goes up, right? We all worry and fear about life, about certain things. Or maybe we don't have a lot of worry and fear, and that's good, but maybe we do. Pretty much everyone does to some degree. Then you can ask, how can we reconcile this logically? That we have worry and fear, but that's not part of the plan of happiness. And that isn't what Heavenly Father's intent is. This gets them thinking. This gets them going, okay. His intent isn't to have us worry or fear, but we all do. Obviously, that's not his will. Then why do we worry and fear? And what do we worry and fear about? These are, and as you ask these questions, you can have these follow-up questions as well. Honestly, these questions that I'm giving you is just one path. You can go down many different paths ask many different questions. I'm only giving you an example, so you don't have to use these questions. But as you ask your questions, feel to give follow-up questions that you haven't written down that spur the moment you think of that deepen the question that you just asked or are kind of a springboard off of the off an answer that someone gave. And when that happens, it just naturally takes them in a direction that they are willing to go. And that's good. And it's okay if you veer off some. You don't have to be hardcore to these questions, but you want to make this more of a natural process. All right. Then there are three paragraphs in there. I think they're the next three paragraphs. And they're fabulous paragraphs. You may have them read it. But the point that I would make personally, again, you don't have to do this, but this is up to you, is the very last sentence of each of those paragraphs say, it is not to leave you as you are. The intent of Father's plan is not to leave you as you are. It's not to deny mercy and inflict pain and sorrow. It's not to keep you out. And you could point that out and say, do you see what the Father's intent isn't? Then why or others do we feel this so often? And you may break that up into two questions. Then why do we feel this so often? That's one question. Then why do others feel this so often? That's a completely different question. So you actually, I combine this. You probably don't want to combine that because that's having them go down two different paths. And when we send people in the question, when we send people down two different paths, it's easy to just make generalizations. But when you go down one path, why do we feel this so often? Then their mind is focused on why do I feel this so often? Then when you talk about others, then you think about, then their mind broadens to other situations that they may not be a part of or that they've heard of or that they've experienced or seen through others. So again, having that question may be best split up. Then another one, if you are prone to worry that you will never measure up, okay, and he talks about if we think and which you just led them to this point of why would you worry? Why do we do this? Well, Elder Kieran says, if you are prone to worry, if you go down that path, and you may read this quote here or have someone in the class read this quote and then ask some questions. Does this exclude anyone? Does any of this, mine arm of mercy is extended toward you and whosoever will come, him will I receive. Right before that, he is not willing that any should perish. Does this exclude anyone? A binary question that gets solidified in their mind that no, this is for everyone, including me. Does this include you? Yes. When does it include you? Now or only sometimes? Or only when God feels like it? Or is it now, every day, all day? This makes it so it's much more personal to them. Again, you're asking very simple questions, binary and factual even, maybe even explanatory, but we're getting to, and we've asked some introspective questions already, but we kind of went back and we do this, we can do this during the class. We ask some binary, some factual questions. We get into explanatory and introspective, and that's where the spirit is. And then you bring them back and you build up again, and then you bring them back and you build up again. So here, rejecting no one. He did not cast away the woman with the issue of blood. He did not recoil from the leper. And he will not refuse you or those you love when you bring to him your broken hearts and contrite spirits. That is not his intent, nor his design, nor his plan, nor his purpose, wish, or hope. As you read this, would you please describe how you feel? That's an introspective question. That will bring in the spirit. That will help them dive deep into their soul and answer this. Okay, let's do the next question. If we truly understand this or understood this and remembered it always, you may make reference to the sacrament prayer there, and felt it always, how might we act differently? That, on its face is a, that's an explanatory question, but this makes them dive in deep, which makes it an introspective question. How might we act differently? And you might even say, as a follow-up to this, take a situation that you have gone through that you probably didn't act the best in. You didn't react well. How might, knowing this, how might you have done it differently? And let there be silence for a minute. Let them sit and think about that for a moment and go through that in their minds and then come up and then ask questions off of that even. Here's another question. Elder Kieran said, or those you love, didn't he? In that quote, or those you love. If we truly understood this and remembered it always, kind of part going back to that other question, right? And felt it always, how might we act differently to family or friends who may have lost their way or have difficulties in life? Now we took it kind of like Enos, right? We had it on us. Now we've answered that question. Now we're taking it to our family and to our friends. How might we apply the same thing to them? As we do this, they're really getting into this. They're really starting to think about what they can do to help others as well. No roadblocks. No, he does not put up roadblocks or barriers. He removes them. Another quote that you can read. He does not keep you out. He welcomes you. Right? Great. Oops. So with those roadblocks, there are other questions that you can go off of after that. Then, of course, there is the atoning sacrifice itself. You turn it to Jesus Christ. Right? In the end, we're always, and even all the way through, we're trying to turn this to the Savior and his atoning sacrifice and make a connection between the person, each person, and the Savior and what Heavenly Father offers them through Jesus Christ, the atoning sacrifice. So through these questions, and I guarantee, as you do these questions and as you ask this, you may not even get to the end of the questions. We did go through a lot of questions. We went through a few parts of Elder Kieran's talk. We didn't, and some questions, but you may not get through all of the questions at all. In fact, you may have to stop in the middle of that and then somehow bring it back around to Jesus Christ, right? Not that we want to exclude him in the middle, but we definitely want to help others realize that this is where we're going. But in the end, we want to bring them to Jesus Christ, feeling the Spirit, help them understand that the atonement is for them, is for us, is for me, is for you. That would be my goal. Remember at the beginning when I said you have to have a goal? In the end, when you create all this, then you go, okay, that's where I want to help people get to. And that could be your goal. Again, it could be something different, and that's okay. But this is how, what I just taught you is the different types of questions and how to ask really good questions to get to the point where they are bringing the Spirit in, where they are bearing their testimony, where they're sharing, where they're a bit vulnerable with each other. That creates unity. That creates strong feelings of the Spirit. That creates that helps the Spirit teach them what they need to go do. And I did have a question on that, and I don't know why it didn't come up here. But the next question is, what are you going to do differently now that you've learned what you've learned? How are you going to take this home and use this in your families? How are you going to use this for yourself? How are you going to use this with your friends? How are you going to think differently every day now? As you do this, as you learn to ask really good questions and bring this out in them, you're not telling them this is what they're going to do. You're not telling them. You're letting this come from within. And when it comes from within, when it comes from each individual person, and each individual person is going to be different, when it comes from within them, they're going to remember it more because it's the Spirit telling them. They're going to act on it more likely than you just telling them this is what you should do. It's going to come from within them. And as you do this, this will bring them closer to Jesus Christ. You're actually letting the Spirit teach them and bring them closer to Jesus Christ. You're asking the questions, they answer, and you step out of the way and you let the Spirit do the rest of the work. As you do this, it can be very, very powerful and help others come to Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful I was able to do this for you. I hope this helped. Again, use some of this, use all of it. I don't care. It's completely up to you. Go with the Spirit. And the Spirit, I promise, will help you know what kind of questions. You may want to write down questions and revise the question and revise it again and revise it again and again until you get to the perfect question that you're looking for. Really spend time on the questions, and the Spirit will help you ask really good questions to help bring out the Spirit in them to teach them. I love the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love teaching how to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is my favorite, pretty much my favorite thing to do overall. And I am so thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for the Savior himself. I'm thankful that we can be led by prophets, by the Spirit, that we have the Spirit, that we have the power, that we have the power through the temple, through our covenants. This is the best thing on earth. This is the, seriously, the most exciting, wonderful thing ever. And we get to be a part of it. I love it. And I say that in Jesus' name. Amen.